What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Drive safe out there, everybody. Snow falling out here in Houston as we welcome in our Odyssey NFL Insider here at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday. Ross Tucker, make sure to check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, daily NFL podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a really good, before we let Ross talk, it is a really good podcast. You guys should listen to it. He has really good guests on. Every now and then a Seth Payne appearance, and I would also like Ross. I'm guessing Ross is still into this even at his advanced age. Sean just implored everybody to drive carefully, but there's nothing wrong with going to an empty parking lot and doing some donuts, is there, Ross?
Oh man, wait a minute. There's no way you guys have that much snow that people can be doing donuts.
Yes. Today, yeah, we're expecting to get ultimately about 4 or 5 inches of snow here in Houston today.
What?
Yes. It's crazy.
Does that ever happen
we're
to
not,
you guys?
We're not ready for it, Ross. No. Very, very rarely. We'll get snow, but very rarely accumulation. I think the last time we got accumulation was when my wife was pregnant 20 years ago.
Yeah.
That's how we knew God was blessing us. But
well,
no,
a couple things. First of all, it is 2 degrees here in central Pennsylvania right now.
Mm.
Two. And we got just about a foot of snow on Sunday during the Eagles game. We got more in central PA than they got down near Philly. But you guys telling that story, I'm sure you have examples of this because both of you guys are originally from the Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
So I can remember the year is 2003. Bill Parcells gets hired as the Cowboys head coach and he calls a meeting, you know, I don't know, in like mid-February, which is very unusual for NFL, right? You're off until you have to go back for the off-season program. Well, not Parcells. He called a meeting, and we all had to be there. So I fly into Dallas, and there's bad weather. It's like a mix of, like, ice and a little bit of snow. And I get picked up by a fellow offensive lineman, friend of mine named Tyson Walter, who's from Cleveland. And so we're driving to, I don't know if I'm staying at his house or I can't remember, but we're driving, and that was the first time I realized that people in Texas, at least in Dallas, have no idea whatsoever how to drive in like icy or snowy conditions. Like he's from Cleveland. I'm from Reading, Pennsylvania. We're like laughing as people are in the ditches. People are like hitting the gate. People are like driving. And then all of a sudden, they'll slam on the brake.
Yeah.
And we're like, are these people idiots? Like it was like a movie scene where, like, half the cars are, like, spinning out. And, like, they're literally doing everything you're not supposed to do when you drive. And we're like, we were fine. It was really, like, we were fine and used to it. It was really just like a video game where we had to avoid all of the idiots. And I'm just, like, curious, is that what it's like No offense to any of the idiots driving right now, but is that what it's like in Houston when there's snow?
There's a little bit of that because there's people that just don't understand. Like, there's no such thing as being a coward when it's like this, everybody. Like, you be a coward. Like, it's just however fast it feels comfortable. No, you go slower than that. I think what sometimes people don't realize is that four-wheel drive does not turn your vehicle all of a sudden into something that, like a spider on a web or
a
something.
A magical machine.
Yeah. Especially, God help you.
It's like, oh, I have four-wheel drive. I'm good. No. You still have to go super slow when you're going down a hill. You want to actually hit the brake as little as possible. You certainly don't want to go fast and then hit the brake. And the other thing, I noticed this, even in Pennsylvania, I saw this the other day. If you're going up a hill, you got to hit the gas, bro. Like, you got to go. You can't, like, go slow up the hill. No. You're going to get stuck. Like, you got to go. I mean, it's just funny, really funny.
Well, part of it, though, too, Ross, is that the roads aren't quite built for it either. And I'm thinking specifically everybody out there who's driving right now. If you're going from 45 north getting on to 59.
Oh, yeah.
Get elevated. That one elevated ramp. Oh, my gosh. Be careful.
Yeah.
Go. Stay away from it completely.
Yes.
Because you're going to be super careful. Somebody's going to come barreling behind you, not being careful. Just stay the hell off that thing. I've had some harrowing moments on that when it gets below freezing.
Someone who listens to way less responsible radio than Payne and Pendergast.
It's 45 north to 59 south.
Yeah.
It's that ramp right there.
It's nasty. It's a hairpin. Yeah, it's a sharp turn. All right, Ross, let's get into football. You were on that Texans and Chiefs game on Saturday. We'll get into Mahomes and the calls or the officials and stuff like that, but I'm curious, just you've watched a lot of Texans football this season, especially down the stretch. You called several of their games. What should the mood be right now in your mind for the fan base heading into 2025 with this team?
Ooh, that's such a good, broad question. I think I would say I would be optimistic with some minor tweaks that we can compete at the highest level. I think that would probably be the mood. You know, I thought for the most part they outplayed the Chiefs in that game. I thought it was a very, again, for the most part, favorable evaluation of CJ Stroud. I mean, guys, I loved what he did running with the ball. He made some big time throws. I think you're also right if you're extremely frustrated by both a couple of the calls that were made by the officials in the game, but I'm more of a personal accountability, personal responsibility guy.
Mm-hmm.
The Texans killed themselves with dumb penalties that were penalties or dumb mistakes. You know, like, you know, some of the mistakes they made, you know, you think about the Fairbairn misses, you think about the opening kickoff and then Boyd throwing his helmet. You think about some of the sacks that CJ took. I mean, I can't remember, but at one point, I think they had gotten into Chiefs territory in like their first five or six drives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And had 6 points or whatever to show for it. I would have a weird mix, if I'm a Texans fan right now, of frustration, because that was, I know they lost by two scores, but that was actually a very winnable game. So I'd be frustrated that we had those self-inflicted wounds or unforced errors that cost us the game, including mental errors like not blocking the right guy sometimes, which happened all year. So that would be maddening to me. And then also, you're playing the Chiefs in the playoffs, and you let Travis Kelce be the guy that kills you. That would really bother me as well. The flip side to that is, those feel like correctable errors, like correctable mistakes. And it feels like, you know what? Like, we really might have the talent to be as good as these other teams. I think we have the quarterback and the head coach to be as good as these other teams. And if we had had Tank Dell or Diggs, because there were several plays where those other receivers, whether it was Hutchinson or Wayne or whatever, they didn't make plays that were there to be made that probably would have been different if they had Diggs. I'd have like a real almost 50-50 mix of frustration and optimism, if that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Ross, so a lot of the issues that you brought up offensively fall back to the play and performance of the offensive line. And in pass protection, obviously we include the tight ends and the running backs in that as well, with blitz pickup in particular. But the blocking, let's just call it blocking. The blocking was not what it needed to be this year. Even in the playoffs there, where they ran the ball pretty effectively, they weren't really able to run nearly as effectively in the red zone as they were in the middle of the field. The report right now is that Chris Strausser, the offensive line coach, is going to retire. Is there, from everything you've watched of the Texans this year, did you see an opportunity to, at the very least, a different offensive line coach might make a big difference if you get the, like, they're not going to get Jeff Stoutland, for instance, but, like, if they got a guy that was as good as Jeff Stoutland, could it be as simple as that?
I certainly, looking at it, you know, the nicest way to say it is there were way too many mental errors by the offensive line this year for the Texans. And those just can't happen. Those are how you get beat. And it's interesting because, like, compare and contrast to the Chiefs, right? The Chiefs really didn't do anything that special, but they don't make the dumb mistakes. You know what I mean? Like, they don't make the critical penalties. They don't make the missed assignments, or even like, why is late in the game do we have Dalton Schultz and a running back blocking George Karlaftis? Like, what are we doing? I was frustrated from a tactical standpoint with some of the scheme for the Texans, but also the way they did not carry it out effectively either. I think position coaches matter quite a bit. I don't know much about, you know, their offensive line coach, but certainly I can speak to my experience with 9 different offensive line coaches, and even just seeing other position groups and, you know, seeing how much an upgrade in a position coach can make for a unit. No doubt.
Ross Tucker's our Odyssey NFL insider, joining us here on Sports Radio 610. I would love to have heard your call, Ross, on the 2 penalties the Texans sustained, the 2 unnecessary roughness penalties, one on Will Anderson, one on Henry Toa against Patrick Mahomes. The first one was in the pocket. It happens. The second one looked like Mahomes was trying to draw the penalty there. He had the flop later on in the game. Where are you on those calls, and where are you on what the league, or even if, in your opinion, the league needs to do something about how that whole rule is adjudicated?
Well, there were 4 calls. I mean, there might have been more, but there were certainly 4 calls that jumped out to me during the game as bad.
Mm-hmm.
3 went against the Texans, 1 went against the Chiefs. You know, maybe it all sets itself. I did not like the offensive pass interference call on Dalton Schultz.
Mm-hmm.
I did not think that was he was just running straight, and Nazi Johnson, the Chiefs corner, engaged with him and didn't even fight over the top to try to get on the outbreaking route. So that one really bothered me. I thought the holding call that they called on Trey Smith for the Chiefs was bad,
yeah,
right?
Like, yeah.
Maybe they had the wrong number. I don't know, but that was not a hold. He got pulled down by the Texans D tackle by the back of the head. Like, so there were other bad calls. You know, I will say I think Mahomes does a really, really good job of drawing those fouls.
Yeah.
And I'm not a big fan of it. I think it's sort of like the soccerification of football, which I'm not, I like, or like the NBAification of football. Like, I don't want that. I mean, I don't want that at all in our sport. But Mahomes is going to do anything and everything possible, okay, to win the game. And when Will Anderson hit him, Mahomes snapped his head back like it was whiplash in a car accident. So if you're the referee behind him and you see Will Anderson not go low, not lower his target area, it looks like there's face-to-face contact and Mahomes' head snaps back, you're probably going to throw the flag too. And then I really did not like how late he didn't even slide with the toe-o-toe-o one. He just kind of dropped his butt at the last second.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't even a slide. I didn't like that one either. What I would tell you guys is that the answer is for those things to be reviewable.
Yeah.
But that's not even the case. Because Sunday, on NFL Network, Walt Anderson, the head of officiating for the NFL, went on NFL Network and said they were both the right call. So, I mean, the answer is, don't even give them a chance.
Yeah.
Don't even, if you're Will Anderson, hit him, like put your shoulder in his ribs. If you're those other guys, let's just, like, when he drops at the last second, it's almost like when you go near him, you have to be aware, and I hate this, but when you get close to him, you have to know he's going to do something at that point to try to draw the foul. And you can't put yourself in that situation. You cannot put yourself in that spot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only answer right now, and it's not a good answer. But if Walt Anderson's going to go on TV the next day and say that those were the right calls, then what are we going to do?
Yeah. Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, does a phenomenal job for us here and great on the radio as well. Make sure to check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, daily NFL podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Ross, we appreciate the time as always.
Yeah, listen, so great talking with you guys this year. Bummed that the season's over for the Texans, but hopefully we can connect at least once or twice here before the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Will you be at the Super Bowl?
I will. Will you guys or not?
We will. Yeah, we'll be there too. We'll see you in New Orleans.
Oh, man. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Awesome.
Seth will actually hang with us this time. It'd be great.
I tried to hang with you last time. You ghosted me. I didn't even get a reply to my text. So, yeah.
That's not true.
Don't play that game when you're on a microphone. Uh-uh.
What are you talking about? Sean and I were hanging out. Where were you that night?
Oh, yeah, that was in Houston. I wasn't there. Yeah, that's. I was talking about the Super Bowl last year I tried to hang with you, and I got no response.
That is not true.
It's 100%
always
true.
So this is scary because somebody else told me that recently. I am a reply to everybody guy on text. Like, I'll get 6 texts from radio producers today to go on their shows. I will reply to all of them, sorry, no, or if I, you know, it's usually sorry, no, but, like, I reply to anybody that ever texts me because I hate being ghosted. So you're the second person this season that told me that happened, which means something weird happened with my phone. I reply, especially you. Even if I was like, no, you're a loser and ugly, I would still reply.
I'd be more likely to reply to that one, I got to tell you.
Ross, there's a very good chance that I texted the wrong person.
All right, Ross, we'll...
let's see. Wait, I'm looking at my text from last year, or February 6th. Do you have any time to chat in person one of these days? Hey, which office does your ad results contact work out of? Nope, no replies. From February 6th through May 6th, I sent you 3 different texts and no replies.
Mm.
No replies.
Dude, that 1,000% means I didn't get them. So now we got to figure that out.
Yep. From a year ago. Yeah, we got to figure out this technical issue with your phone from February of last year. That's what we got to do.
That is scary to me because somebody else showed me a text that they sent me that I hadn't replied to, but I never got it. Anyway, I got to figure it out.
Okay, I feel better now.
I got no issues with you, Ross. You replied from the press box at the last game when I texted when you were on TV. So I'm just so you know, I'm cool with you, all right?
I could show, like, next time I see you guys, I'll show you my text. I've replied to every single one that's in, because I'm also a deleter. So I'll reply and then delete.
Yeah.
I like to keep it clean.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah, man, we are brothers from another mother, man. The empty inbox, baby. Love that. Love
trying,
that.
I'm trying.
Yep. Hey, Ross, we appreciate it. We'll see you in New Orleans, man.
All right, see you guys.
All right, take it easy. I love that you were able to, while we're talking to him, go all the way back to February 6th and find the text.
Yeah, there's a little bit more to it than that. Ross wasn't quite much. Anyway, I created a list of reasons that Ross Tucker could be the next offensive line coach.
I saw that.
I wrote it all myself, and I would never ask ChatGPT to do it for me.
It's a lot of typing to do during an interview in the show.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy that I wrote a 1,000-word argument for it.
Bullet points and everything.
Some good stuff. Deep football knowledge, strong communication skills, passion and enthusiasm, dedication to the game.
Relatability.
And then why does this matter to NFL teams? Relatability, because he was a player who played in the game. Mm-hmm. Modern perspective, because he would bring a fresh perspective informed by his media work, where he's constantly analyzing the latest trends in offensive line play.
You know what?
We know Titus Howard and Laramie like trends. They're very trendy.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe Ross will be the next offensive line coach for the Texans.
Big into the trends. Yeah, this is it's actually a pretty good argument for Ross Tucker. It's good an argument for anybody right now.
I think that is one of the things, because I've experimented a lot with ChatGPT, Gemini, and that it's good for some things, it's horrendous for others. It seems like for resume building and things like that, it does a pretty good job of kind of especially finding strengths that you wouldn't realize are strengths, or like when you've got blind spots in your own, the way to trump up your own resume. Seems like they do a pretty good job with that.
You should see if Ross Tucker, it would actually be, relative to the rest of society, highly qualified to be an offensive line coach. You've never been a coach before, to my knowledge.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing.
You should ask Gemini about just like people that have nothing to do with football, why they should be the Texans' offensive line coach. And
I was thinking
about
this yesterday. It's one of the big problems with football is that it's chock full of football players, and by that I mean the pool you pull from. And I include myself in this, where the pool you pull from are former guys who largely, like almost unanimously at least, played college football. Mm-hmm. And you look at the GPAs, the team GPAs of the football team versus, say, the cross country team or anything else in college sports, there's a big difference.
Yeah.
We're not the sharpest bunch of pencils in the box necessarily.
No.
I feel like there's some that's why I don't fight against analytics too much, because there's room for more high IQ people in a football organization.
Mm-hmm.
But the playing experience does matter.
Yes.
It does. But so trying to pull from maybe unconventional places and resources and trying to hire coaches, I think there's room for that.
Yeah. Well, my feeling on college football head coaches.
You think they're the dumbest people?
They're the dumbest millionaires on the planet.
They're the dumbest millionaires in America,
yes.
Other than like lottery winners and trust fund kids.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. They're the dumbest millionaires for sure. Like, just IQ, general logic wise.
I would say football coaches and, football players, like athletes ourselves and musicians. Yeah. Those are probably the richest people who don't have the normal of self-made millionaires, don't have maybe the normal traits of other self-made millionaires.
That's a great way to put it. Yes, it's a traits thing for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. All right, CJ Stroud met with the media yesterday, and he had some really interesting things to say. We'll get to CJ on Bobby Slowick in a minute, but here's CJ on having to have hard conversations with people about how the season went.
Yeah, it's not just today. It's not just this week. It's overtime, and most of them are individual, and some of them are as a collective. For me, it's my job to be honest and my job to be transparent, and that's what I feel like I'll do, throughout this time, and with free agency and draft and everything. If my opinion is asked, I'm gonna give it, like it or not. So, yeah, and I think I would like that same type of honesty back to myself, because with that comes clarity, and it comes just clear communication and transparency. So Yeah, it'll be overtime, but I definitely think today was the start of that, and, you know, we'll continue to have conversations, and, you know, and that's, it's a healthy thing. It's not a bad thing, you know. It's really healthy to have those type of conversations, and even if they turn into, you know, things where it's confrontation or whatever, you know, that's necessary. We're all men in here, mostly, and you figure it out, and, you know, and we all got love for one another. You spend years with guys, or you spend a whole year with somebody, you'll learn to like them and learn to have things to like about them, so, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good lesson for any organization. You got to be able to disagree with each other. The old saying, if two people agree about everything, then one of them is unnecessary. You've got one tail. Productive conflict is it's a very mature thing, and it's a hard thing to cultivate. But I do think, at the very least, CJ and Bobby seem to have that type of a relationship.
Yeah.
They're able to disagree with each other, but not get all sensitive about it. That's a healthy relationship. If you got a healthy marriage, you and your wife should be able to disagree about certain things, but it's not like it dooms the marriage. You got to have productive conflict. I think the Texans are in a good place with that, with a lot of their key people. If they do choose to stay with Bobby Slowick, I'm not worried about that part of it. I think they're able to have those hard conversations.
Where are you? I'll be honest with you. The part where he started talking about providing his input on free agency and the draft and stuff like that, it started to feel a little like Deshaun back when there was no GM and no head coach. He wanted to be involved. And they did. I think they did converse with him about it, and then they went in a completely different direction.
I think that's the key. It's the, you got in that, when you want to put your input in there, I think CJ understands that he can put his input in there, and they're not always going to do the thing that he would like or he would prefer.
I agree. Yeah,
I don't know if... Now, it was... Like, I don't want to just, you know, pile on Deshaun or anything, but, like, I don't... There were so many things that were different about the organization at that point.
Yes.
I don't want to say, like, oh, yeah, Deshaun wasn't mature or anything like that. I think it just wasn't a healthy environment at that point for multiple reasons.
Yeah, I'm merely acknowledging the fact that when I heard CJ say that, my brain went to that place. And I'm like, last time we were here, this became a big point of contention. To your point, I think CJ is more mature than Deshaun right now than Deshaun was when he was here with the Texans, clearly on many levels. And I think this is just, I think it's a much more conducive environment to those conversations, to taking the input, to conveying the understanding that you're not handpicking these guys, you're just providing your input on this stuff.
Well, and the other part of it too was CJ said yesterday he understands the game, and that it's one of the things he's learned is, okay, this team's not going to look the same next year.
Yeah.
And there's going to be guys that come. There's going to be guys that go. You know, over time, CJ's going to have a lot of guys that he really likes and wants on the team that the team decides to go another way with. And you can't get sensitive about it.
Nope.
That's the biggest thing is, boy, I mean, and it's okay to get sensitive about it, but you got to get over it. Like, just the understanding that you got to get over it. The organization that I think has done the best job of this over time, really for the last couple decades, is the Ravens.
Yes.
100%. And a lot of that starts with both of the head coaches, both Billick and Harbaugh, have talked about, you know, I think Billick was one that called it scrimmaging. Like, when he and Ozzie Newsome would kind of argue about stuff, they'd scrimmage, you know? Nobody's going to, at the end of the day, you're not winning or losing the argument or anything. You're just scrimmaging, and you're making your point. The other guy is making his point, and you can't allow yourself to get overly sensitive about it.
Yep. Let's compare the answers here between CJ Stroud and D'Amico Ryans on Bobby Slowick. Here was CJ Stroud when he was asked about his offensive coordinator yesterday.
Yeah, I think he did, you know, he did great. You know, I think he, as time went on, you know, he got better and better and better, and, you know, was learning from, you know, his past and what he did in San Fran, learning from what he's done on the defensive side, you know, putting into his own scheme, you know. So I definitely think, you know, that, you know, he has a lot of success coming his way, and, you know, I've been honored to, you know, have it with him, and hopefully, you know, keep it going. So, you know, I'm definitely, you know, on Bobby's side and appreciate him for, you know, all the things he's taught me and, you know, how great he's been, you know, in my career so far.
Okay, so that was CJ. That was about 45 seconds or so. Here was D'Amico Ryans yesterday when he was asked about Bobby Slowick this season.
Yeah, I think overall with with Bobby, I saw some growth, saw some improvement throughout the year.
Okay. So the a much, much less detailed answer as to the ABCs of one Robert Slowick.
Okay, I think the gut feeling when you hear that is like, wow, that is not gushing praise whatsoever. That might mean, I personally, this would be my read on it. I think D'Amico understands that as a head coach, you got to try to be as objective as possible. And he's in a moment here where over the next week, they're going to be evaluating a lot of things. And I think he probably knows and he needs to consciously detach himself from his personal feelings about Bobby Slowick. And that also, look, to me, it's an indication that they haven't actually made a decision about Bobby Slowick. And it would be unfair to Bobby Slowick for him to gush about, you know, Bobby Slowick and what a great job he did, and then maybe he goes through this process and they decide to move on. You know, that's not really fair to kind of maybe raise Bobby Slowick's hopes or anything. I do think there'll be an honest, or they're going to try to have a really hard, honest, objective, as objective as possible evaluation of Bobby Slowick and everybody else. And I think that's the only thing I'll read into that answer. I'm not going to look at it as like, okay, well, you know, oh, he's 100% back or he's 100% gone.
Yeah, I mean, if we're just going to go like black and white with this, did he do a good job or a bad job this year? Bobby Slowick didn't do a good job this year. Like the offense,
he didn't
have
a good offense.
Yeah,
right.
he didn't. Yeah. Now the reasons are the reasons, and certainly execution, as Ross Tucker pointed out, mental errors on the offensive line, like those are all things, and those are all player-based reasons, but you are responsible for the performance of those players as the offensive coordinator.
The hard thing for D'Amico is that the play for Bobby, one of the arguments for Bobby would be that, okay, he's got 2 years of history now with Deshaun and
CJ.
Deshaun and Bobby Slowick, excuse me, yeah, CJ. CJ and Bobby Slowick are, you know, maybe on the same wavelength. They know how to communicate with each other. CJ understands the verbiage and the philosophies and all of that. And there's a lot to be said for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're building that Rolodex of things that they remember. But also on the flip side of it, it's like, man, sometimes you don't have to overthink it. Sometimes there's people out there that are just better at it.
Yeah.
And, okay, yeah, there's a learning curve as you learn Chip Kelly's verbiage or something like that. But that it's like if you're training yourself to be a really, really good marksman with, you know, your daddy's old Deerslayer shotgun or something, and all of a sudden you get a sniper rifle with a $5,000 scope.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. Turns out I'm actually a much better marksman now with this $5,000 scope. Yes, that's the difference.
And the enthusiasm to learn how to use that weapon quickly.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like you're motivated to get into the. I don't think motivation's ever a problem for C.J. Stroud. Like he's whatever the offense is, he'll be immersed in the playbook. But man, yeah, like something different. You know,
I've got a nice old boy. I know all the ins and outs, and I just feel like this old 30 odd is a gun for me because I've spent so much time with it. But man, you get all of a sudden you get a rifle with an infrared scope or something, and man, yeah.
CJ talked about that exact thing yesterday. Having the same OC for the first 2 years, maybe providing stability, what could it be like in year three?
I don't know how people can bounce from coordinator to coordinator. I know that I can't imagine, you know, that's probably really tough, you know, so I definitely don't recommend that, you know. I definitely think you can find a rapport with a guy and, you know, build that, do it to the best of your ability. And, you know, yeah, it would be great, you know, to have 3 years with that same scheme, you know, that same type of X's and O's and things like that would be great, so, yeah.
All right, and for CJ, that's the right answer. Like he's not even if he doesn't totally feel that way, even if he does feel like there are some limitations right now.
I think that's you're right, and he can't envision it. I don't think he's putting it in his mind. I think that CJ is very much like he understands the reality of the league and that there's going to be change, but also he's not going to abandon a guy that he probably likes and cares about and everything all like that. I think this might be one of those moments where, as a quarterback, like this is where you don't want to be involved in it necessarily, and it's hard to do. Like you're not going to be the guy that's You don't want to be the guy that's responsible for, you know, getting somebody fired, but also that you also don't know exactly what you don't know.
Right.
And that there's, it's not always that, oh, the grass is greener on the other side, and that there is a lot of value in having that shared experience.
Well, this is where there's got to be big trust by CJ and D'Amico Ryans. You know, I'm assuming, yeah, D'Amico with some, you know, along with Nick Caserio are making these decisions about the staff that, that D'Amico said. I mean, it does sound like there is something coming down the pike. Now, maybe Strowser ends up being the guy who takes the fall for what happened
that's
offensively.
The big change, yeah.
Yeah, that could be it, because there's already been reports that he won't be back next year. But I thought it was noteworthy that D'Amico Ryans walked into that press conference yesterday before there was a single question asked and basically said anything about staffing or about the players, decisions there, you know, basically saying we haven't made any decisions yet. That's going to be later in the week.
The really interesting thing, and maybe the most valuable thing for the Texans in all of this decision making, is the exit interview with Chris Strowser, if he is indeed retiring. Because I know there's coaches out there listening right now, that the arguments between offensive line coaches and offensive coordinators can be pretty epic. Because there's times where the O-line coach feels like, bro, you are asking me to do the freaking impossible, dude, and it's making me look like an ass clown. And there's other times where the offensive coordinator feels like, oh, man, why can you not get these guys to do this? It seems pretty simple. Mm-hmm. They're not always on the same page, and that's what we have zero ability to decipher. No matter how smart you are at football, you just don't know the dynamics of what the offensive coordinator is asking the O-line coach to do and vice versa. And so Chris Strowser, maybe in conversations about the way things went and everything, they might be able to glean some things either positively or negatively about Bobby Sloat.
Does Nick Caserio have something up his sleeve? One player in open locker room yesterday basically said that. What could it be? We'll speculate. That's fun. Ooh. We'll do that. We got the Pettycast coming up. Top of the hour. Tuesday Pettycast coming up at 8 o'clock. Stay there.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
A lot of the guys talking in the open locker room yesterday about the season, about the upcoming offseason. Going to be a very interesting offseason for several guys. Derek Stingley Jr. saying he wants to be here in Houston forever. His contract situation will be a big story, I think, this offseason. Maybe the best corner in football right now. Timing perfect for Derek Stingley. Joe Mixon said something interesting yesterday. Take a listen. This is Joe Mixon talking about the upcoming offseason. And he says something very interesting at the end of this cut.
First of all, I'm going to say I'm a great recruiter. But another thing on top of that is I'm not here to sell no dream. You know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, whether, you know, going to the Pro Bowl or if I was just at the crib and, you know, free agency started, whatever the case it is, man, when it comes down to it, you know, definitely going to do whatever we can to obviously improve the team. When it comes down to it, you know, I just try to do whatever I can to help my teammates, help our team win and become successful. I mean, that's why I do this, and, you know, that's why I love the game of football, man. That's why I play this. So definitely look forward to that recruiting aspect, having fans, you know, very excited and engaged to obviously who we're basically additions to the team. And I know for a fact that Nick got something cooked up right now. So definitely all excited for it, and fireworks will be here real soon.
All right. Nick, okay,
for
wow.
A fact.
Know for a fact, Nick's got something cooked up right now. There's going to be some fireworks real soon.
Fireworks real soon. Now, the fireworks can't really start until the league year begins now and free agency begins.
Free agency, yeah.
But that's soon. Soon's a, you know, it's a relative term. I think that immediately, as he's talking about being a recruiter and everything else, my first thought went to T. Higgins. You need a wide receiver if Stephon Diggs doesn't come back. My reservation is that T. Higgins has injury concerns and history. We'll see about that. But I wonder what he knows for a fact.
Well, here's the thing. If fireworks real soon, you're absolutely right about free agents outside the building. They could sign Stephon Diggs to a contract today if they want to.
Maybe that's does that feel like fireworks? If anything, it doesn't feel like the fireworks of last year because for a couple reasons. One, Stephon Diggs is in his 30s and coming off of an ACL injury. Yep. But then two, we also saw that, okay, they definitely need to do more than just have good wide receivers on the team. Mm-hmm. Having three of those guys wasn't enough to actually have a good offense. Yeah. Three, you know, top-notch wide receivers. But I guess in Joe Mixon's mind, I could see that being fireworks. For me, it's a little bit more like maybe a Roman candle,
yeah,
but not instead of like a big majestic 4th of July finale.
I think for fans, boy, would re-signing Diggs qualify as fireworks? Like I think you're probably more measured than the fan base is. You were the one voice of reason throughout the offseason as they were getting all the fireworks type stuff, saying, "Hey guys, we can't run the football. We don't run the football well." So I think, and this is, you know, it's neither good nor bad. I think you're just wired differently to look at it, and like to look at the stuff that actually probably needs to be fixed even more than bringing back Stephon Diggs. Like, they got to fix this offensive line before they do. I don't know if they need to do it before they do anything else, but it's a higher priority Yo, the sequence of the offseason might not allow you to do it before signing, say, Stephon Diggs back.
It's all, I would say, let's use nothing but firearms analogies this morning. It's like having Stephon Diggs, it was like having the best ammunition, but rusty, shoddy weapons to fire it from. And not talking about C.J. Stroud, just the everything else about the offensive operation.
Yeah.
They couldn't utilize all those great wide receivers because when teams decided to take away those wide receivers, deep threat, they didn't have a good run game. They didn't have a well-developed quick game. They didn't do all of these other things to take advantage of all the cover two they were seeing. That's what drove me insane about the NFL in general this year, where various offensive coordinators or teams acting like seeing a bunch of cover two was a bad thing. Like, no, that's a really good thing. You want to force them into playing cover two. You should be in the driver's seat when teams are playing a bunch of cover two versus you. It drives me insane when these wannabe glory boy whiteboard warriors don't know how to play play football. Oh gosh. Yeah, they have to play cover two. We got them right where we want them. That's what it should be. They're like, oh, what do we do? There's nobody in the box. How do I pass the ball when I've got all this actual freaking space underneath to throw the ball and run the ball? It's cover two. Run the ball. It's easy. It's easy.
How about Mel Kiper's solution early in the season was just maybe they need to ban cover two? What?
Yeah. It's that, you know how hard it is to actually be a good defense when you're playing cover two all the time?
Oh my God.
You got to be a really, really good defense to stop the run in cover two.
Yep.
And yet, because they've got so many little dudes that were raised on Madden and watching and falling in love with the X's and O's, they don't actually know how to coach football.
Yeah.
So you end up with what the Texans had this year, which was they couldn't run the ball versus cover two, which is disgusting and pathetic and shameful.
Is there anything glaring on the defensive side that would qualify as fireworks for the Texans? I feel like that side of the ball, other than depth, I mean, they need more corners. Yeah. They need more competent corners on the team. But that's one of the things that has me most excited about next season is all the big pieces on defense are back for another year. A lot of them are young and have another year of experience under their belt. The ones that are all free agent, by and large, the free agents on defense are the group of interior defensive linemen that I think all played above the level that we expected them to play this year. So maybe they'll want to come back because they're playing in a defense where they're productive. I don't know, but I feel like I'm confident in Nick Caserio and D'Amico. And if they have to identify the next Tim Settle, Mario Edwards Jr., and Foley Fatakasi, there's a lot of guys out there like that, I think.
There are a lot of guys out there like that. I think it's, there is still room for with a guy that, if you bring in a guy that is a genuine all-around three-down stud at defensive tackle, that can help a lot. But I guess defensively, the biggest issues this year were more along the lines of the big plays they allowed, and a lot of that had to do with youth and or injuries in the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the fireworks there are the continued development of very, very young players. I mean, you still have, so Kalen Bullock and Kamari Lassiter, rookies. You have Jalen Petrie, still was just a third-year player this year, playing in a new role. That's where the fireworks are in the development of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe a veteran safety to go alongside it or compete with Eric Murray or whomever else. I just don't feel like I can trust Jimmy Ward to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Ever again. He's at that age and he's injured all the time these days. So that's, I don't have a thirst for fireworks there. I've got a thirst for fireworks on the interior offensive line.
Yes.
Which is not a very, not typically a fireworks type of proposition.
Firework is interior offensive line. Is it like just sort of like a boring bottle rocket or something like that?
Trey Smith from the Chiefs is
a free
agent.
Okay.
Yeah. So there are, there's guys out there. I think Will Freese is out there, I believe, the guy from the, I know I'm going to say from the Colts, which the Colts don't have a shine on them right now. There's some good guards out there. Now, which of these guys will get franchised or re-signed? Probably 75% of them.
Sure.
But that's where I think fireworks in one of the least firework typical positions, interior offensive line, I think that might be the move.
Yeah, fireworks are sexy. The left guard position, not super sexy. So,
right.
Yeah.
Unless right. you're into whatever, you know.
Yeah, so you're right. So there's everybody's into something. So yeah, so there may be someone driving around in the snow right now going, hey, man, that's my deal. I love left guards. It's my fetish. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you heading into the 8 o'clock hour here. Pettycast, you ready to get petty? Seth C.
Payne? Oh, yeah. I've been petty, bro. Been petty all day long.
We've got some good ones here. We have a repeat offender from last week who isn't even located anywhere near Houston, but it's really good audio. This guy's a big crybaby. Petty. The Pettycast. We do it coming up next.